what we're doing in prayer and what the Father is doing through us with the word, we haven't saw anything yet. I'm telling you. This thing needs to be restructured, okay? We need to pull, we need to, first of all, we need to get ourselves out of religion. You know what I'm saying? It's a process of washing it out, just washing it away, okay? Knowing him as Abba, okay? Not just as God, making it personal, really understanding how he sees you, amen? Really understand how he sees you, his heartbeat towards you. So let's get in the word. Let's go ahead and get into the word. Yeah, y'all been into my time. I ain't mad. I'm just saying, y'all. But definitely appreciate everything that transpired, every word that was given. It's needed, okay? So we're on our series, Eight Portals to the Father, Eight Portals to the Father, and we're talking about praying into the Spirit, okay? This is important. We're talking about praying into the Spirit. We've been praying at the Spirit. We haven't been seeing the baptism of the Spirit and us walking in the Spirit, us living in the Spirit, and we've seen the Holy Spirit as just being an individual, being a person, and that prevents us from walking in the Spirit. Okay, that prevents us from praying into the Spirit. We're going to talk about some things on today. These are the eight portals to the Father. We have the gates. We have the courts. We have the household. We have the secret place, and the household is what we'll talk about today. We have some malfunction with the equipment last week, so we didn't get to do the courts. But what I'm going to do is come in on a Thursday, and I'm just going to go ahead and teach that again because we need that. Okay, we need the whole complete shebang with this thing, okay? And so we have the secret place. We have under his wings, in his shadow. We have the holy tabernacle. We have the holy of holies, and then the throne of grace. And so all of these are actually in an order, okay? Especially the first five, okay? The first five are in an order. You have to enter his gates with thanksgivings. You have to enter his courts with praise, okay? That takes you into the household, okay? That what we're going to talk about today. From the household, you can enter the secret place. A lot of times we come and we're taught and we just start talking about the secret place. But then we don't think about the relationship. We don't understand how we enter the gates. We don't understand how to come into his courts. We don't understand that we belong in his presence. It's a lot of things we need to understand, because by the time you hit that secret place, okay, you're coming unraveled. Okay, you're literally bringing him all your foolishness. Come on. That's when you get to come to him and be like, I can't shut up. I can't stop thinking. I can't stop being mad. I can't stop being rebellious. I can't stop acting retarded and goofy. I can't stop lying. These things are eating me away. All this anger, this unforgiveness. Okay, I get to unlock me before him. Okay, and then this is where I really get to trust him as a father. Okay, I really get to lean on him. Okay, I really get to just unpack all of me. The goofy stuff that go on with me, like he don't see it. Y'all know how we try to hide it like he don't see it? You know what I'm saying? That we try to come to him like we got everything together. He looking at them, I know. Now, you know how you look at your kids. You look at them like evidence all on their face. I didn't do it. That's how he looks at us. So you gotta go from the household to the secret place, and then from the secret place, we're in his, under his wings, okay? We're in his shadow. We become close to him. Now he can reveal us to us. Okay, he can reveal his our destinies, our purpose, assignments. Okay, he can't trust you. Watch this, with an assignment, if he can't get you in a secret place, you can't be trusted with an assignment if you won't spend time in a secret place, because you'll start to see what's wrong with everybody else. When you come out the secret place, you see what's wrong with you first. Amen. You start to see what's wrong with me. Okay, that's the problem with the church. They can point finger, I don't like that church. They just not real people. What? How did you come to that conclusion? Did you interview everybody? Okay, did you have a one-on-one conversation with everybody? How did you jump to the conclusion that everybody in the church is a certain way? It's because your mind, your trauma, the things that you had to deal with growing up, And so as soon as someone does something to you, it hit a chord. And then you go right back to your same thinking. And Satan has had you in this same cycle for years and years. Okay? And since from after that, now we can go into the holy tabernacle. Now we can go into the holies of holies. Now we can go into the throne of grace. A lot of times we read books. And I can't stand, especially being an apostle, when people read books and they just, we going right to the throne. We going right throne room prayer. You have so far to go before you get to the throne room. You got so much stuff you got to unpack. You got to cleanse them garments. Okay, before you just sit in the throne room, you got to read your word and see it's an honor and a privilege. He gave us access to it, but before we can even come to his throne of grace, we got to see it as mercy. We got to see it as mercy. We got to see how he feels and that he's not looking at our brokenness as don't approach me like that. No, he wants you to come as you are, but when you get in his presence, you can't help but change. You can't help but change, okay? So we're talking about the eight portals to the Father. Now, a portal is a doorway. It is a gateway. It is a point of entry or access to another realm, another dimension, world, or reality. I'll read that again. So a portal is a doorway. It is a gateway. It is a point of entry or access to another realm. Okay, to another dimension, to another world, to another reality. All right, now, these portals that we're talking about, they are opening up, okay, our consciousness of him. Okay, they're opening up our consciousness of him. So we're not going into a physical door, okay, but it's opening up our consciousness of who we are. Okay, we're not conscious that we are God's children. We say it. But as soon as we get in a situation, okay, whether it be we need something, come on, or whether it be it's an expectation of us to carry out his character, we forget about that, okay? We forget about it when it's time for responsibility. You God's child until it's time, until you got to do the thing he's telling you to do, okay? And so these portals are opening into our consciousness. Now, what a consciousness is, it is the state of being awakened and aware of your surroundings. The Bible says the spirit will quicken you. Okay, what is it doing? It's awakening you. It's waking you up to the fact that you are God's child and that you belong in his household and that you are seated in heavenly places. Okay, and that you have power, you have authority, you have revelation, you have all these things, but you're not conscious of it. He said, I predestined you to conform to the image of my son, but yet and still we wake up every day and we're not conscious of it. Come on, be real. We're not conscious of it. We wake up and we just mosey on about our day. We ain't thought nothing about conforming to his image. We ain't thought nothing about what do you need me to do today, Father? This is how Jesus started his day. Your will. What is it that you want me to do? Watch this. We're going to get to it. It's going to be, okay, it's going to take some time. Amen? It's going to take some time, but it's going to get to a point suddenly where we wake up and it's, Father, what do you want me to do? I don't have a schedule. I don't have a schedule. I don't have an agenda. I wake up in the morning, Father, what is it that you want me to do? And he controls my whole day. That's what it says when the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit. These are the sons, the weos, the mature children of God, as many as are led by the Spirit. You could be his child and not be led by the Spirit. Come on. We could be his children and still not be led by the Spirit. Come on. You know, it takes children a long time to grow into that voice. Stop. Don't go there. Don't do that. And they still do it. Then they wake up one day like, okay, I got to stop being goofy. I got to stop doing crazy stuff. Okay, now they start to acclimate themselves to your voice. It's by time they really start listening, Nicole, they out your house. Okay, they out your house, and now they listen. I should have listened to mama what daddy told me. I should have listened. Okay, ain't it strange how you get older, you start to hear your parents' voice now crystal clear. You start to understand why they said to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that. It's called maturity. It's called maturation. It's called maturity. And this is what we're trying to do in the house of God. We're trying to get you used to hearing the Father's voice on a level besides give me. Can I have? We trying to get you to a level where you're like, what is it that you want? What you want? What nation? Where you want me to go? Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. He said, don't take nothing. Don't take nothing. Don't take none of your comforts. Just go on the mission. I'll supply the resources as I send you. Abraham, get from amongst your kin out of that country. Go. Don't take nothing with you. And the thing he took with him gave him the most problems. Lot. He took Lot with him, gave him the most problems. He tried to get rid of him. He said, look, whatever land you want to take, I take the other. He looked at the plane. Oh, there, that's it right there. Let's go. And brother still ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Still ended up. Okay, so you got to hear, you got to learn how to hear the Father. Get away from them people. Get away from them. Leave them right where they are. Come on, come on. Leave them right where they are. Amen. Get away. And go to a land where I'm going to send you. I let that minister to you for a second. I see y'all like... He been said it, ain't he? You've already heard it. Get away. And the longer you try to stay there, frustration happens, okay? And so he's trying to open up our consciousness, okay? And he's trying to get us to understand our identity. Now, our identity is the awareness of not only who we are, but whose we are. So these portals are opening us up to one understanding where we awaken us to who we are in Christ. And then our surroundings, you're seated in heavenly places. We say it all the time, but when is it going to be a reality? When are we going to speak from there? So this is why now these eight portals are to who? To the Father. Why? Because this is who Jesus reconciled us to. This is who Jesus told us to pray to. Okay, why would he keep telling you to pray to somebody, to talk to somebody, to ask somebody, to tell you that they're going to meet you in this secret place, that person going to reward? Why would he keep telling you that? Because the mission is to do what? Reconcile you. He's trying to reconcile. He is the mediator. Jesus died on the cross so you could have this relationship. So it is a shame for us to leave this planet and never have a relationship that he died for. For us to have a savior but never get the what he saved us from. Okay, he didn't just save us from hell. Okay, he saved us so that we could be children of God. Okay, we're joint heirs with him. You don't understand what that means. Everything that he has is yours. He said, "That's watch this." And this is my thing. I'm trying to be good. Okay, this is my thing. Okay, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is going to disclose everything that is his to you. Come on, we saw it. The Holy Spirit told me what? That everything that Christ has is yours? He said the Spirit going to testify with our spirit that you a child of God. You have not heard the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit says you're God's child. Until you hear it as your Father's voice, you are God's child. You are God's child. All the stuff that's going on in your head, you know what I'm all this goofy stuff going on in your head, okay? You have not heard the Holy Spirit until you heard the Holy Spirit tell you. You're my child. You belong to me. I called you. I chose you. All the stuff that Paul said in the Bible, and we don't hear none of that. So we're going to get into it, okay? Because Jesus emphatically, he mediated the communication to Abba. Not to him, not to the Holy Spirit. Y'all ready for this? He did not call you to talk to the Holy Spirit. Okay. I know that's blaspheming because you're religious. You just really, you have, watch this. This is the thing about it. You do stuff and you have no scriptural proof to do it. You just do it. You have no scriptural proof. This is why the Bible says, study to show myself approved. You know when you study? After you've been taught. That's the best time. Is at the teacher. You can't study without a teacher. Okay? You don't know what to study. You can't study on your own. You need a teacher. You need somebody to teach you. You can study the Bible. You can study the word. But you need the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Before you study, you need what? A teacher. You need somebody to say, how can they hear? Unless he sends somebody. So So anything I teach you, you have my permission. Go study it. Just go study it and see if I'm telling you the truth. Just please go read and see if I'm lying to you. I give you overwhelming proof. I don't teach a message. I do a whole series. I don't teach a message on the top. I give you the whole series. I'm going to give you 4 or 5 messages. Then I'm going to come back again and do it at a different level. And you have my permission to listen to it, to dissect it, to call, to ask questions. But you can't grow until you can teach it. Anything you say, you don't know it if you can't teach it. If you can't explain it, you don't know it. He said, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. If you can't teach it, you don't know it. Are you saved? Are you born again? If you can't teach it, how you know you are? You have to have sufficient evidence through the scriptures to be able to say you are who you are. That's why he gave us the scripture, so you can be able to say it by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're talking about reconciliation. Now it says, therefore, we're just going to breeze through this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is if you are in Christ. All things are passed away, okay, and all things have become new. Amen? Okay, verse 18, it says, now, all things are of God. Verse 18, now, all things are of God, mean from God. Who has, okay, we can do some English in this piece, okay? You want any, who has, he's not going to. That's past tense. Who has? We're not waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. Who has, Charles, reconciled us to himself? That's the most powerful statement in the whole Bible. He reconciled us to himself. I want you. Come on. I want you. Through Jesus Christ. I reconciled you to myself through Jesus Christ. I sent Jesus Christ because I wanted a relationship with you, Darlene, forever. Forever. I sent Jesus because I wanted to have a relationship with you forever. I didn't want to have a relationship with you through the preacher. I wanted to have a relationship with you every day. When you wake up, Helene, I want you to hear my voice. Every moment of your waking life, Carl, I want you to hear me. You ain't got to wonder about your destiny. Just ask. Come on, we got a father that says you have not. We got a brother that said keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Everybody, he said, it's in your book. It's in the Bible. Just read it. He said everybody that asks, receive. Did he not? He said, everybody that asks, receive. He said, everybody that seeks, finds. Everybody that knocks the door shall be open. I want to communicate with you. I want to talk, Charles. I want to talk to you about everything about you. Everything about you. From the rooter to the tutor, y'all. I want to talk. Everything about you is important. Everything, every single, that's bothering you. Let's talk. You don't understand? Let's talk. See, I told you, he's all seeing, all knowing. Talk to him then. If he all seeing and he all knowing, if he all wise, then what? Talk to him. Trust him. But he reconciled you to himself through Christ Jesus. He did not reconcile you to Jesus. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Go tell somebody that. Go tell somebody that. God would want to be your father. Ain't that easy? Just welcome to God want to be your father. You know why your life ain't working? Because he want to father you and you ain't allowing him. You know why it ain't going to work? Because you're not going to allow him to father you. If you don't allow him to father you, it just ain't going to work. You can hope, you can wish, you can try everything. It's not going to work because he gave the sacrifice already. He paid the price already. It's not going to work. Okay, keep going. I hear y'all. Verse 19, it says, and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is that God was in Christ God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. I want you, Dre. I sent him because I want you. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and that you sent me as a propitiation, as an expiation, as a sacrifice, as a lamb to give this blood, to set an example, to be their Lord. I need you to know this. He said, God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Reconciling. This is spiritual. This ain't God was in Jesus. Oh. God wasn't in Jesus reconciling the world. God was in Christ. We just talking about pure spirit. We went back to let us make man in our. I'm in you. I'm going to make you. And then I'm going to put you in flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, your sins. He said, I'm not even looking at your sins. That's not what I'm looking at. By the way, your sins only prove that you're immature. So I just don't want you to think it's okay. It's cool. When he look at you, we look at just like you said, look at kid, like a bad kid. You know, that's how he look. When you always sinning, he'd be like, you look at the bad, you just... I still love you. Still love them, don't you? But they bad. Set your little butt down somewhere. You ever seen a kid just want to? Even your child. You just let me know if you boy, if you don't sit you. I be in the grocery store. Jay, like I be, they be whining and stuff. Their mama turn around. If you don't shut up, boy, I don't even know me. But I can't still a bad kid. You don't sit your butt down somewhere. So he says, not imputing their trespass to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? That means he already told you what to say. You don't come saying what you want to say. We already told you what to say. Reconcile them. Tell them God is your father. God wants you. God wants to raise you. He wants to love you. He wants to nurture you. He wants to be all in your business. He wants to give you the life that he predestined you. Minister that. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. As God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. Just walk around. Just tell people, God want to be your father. Just tell them, God wants you. God wants you in the house. God wants you to be a back part of his family. God wants you to be his father. You are a child of God. He wants to mature you into your purpose. He wants to mature you into your destiny. He wants to mature you into a life, the life that belongs to you. That's outreach right there. It ain't that hard, but this is what we do. Watch this. Get saved or you going to hell. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, God is a holy God and he don't deal with people who sin. And if you don't come to church, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And it ain't going to be my fault. He did not tell you to say that. He didn't say that. He said, tell, reconcile them to me. Mediate. Stand in between them. Answer questions. Be able to give them some scriptures. He predestined all of us to conform to the image of his son. All right. Ephesians 2:18. Let's get into the meat of the matter. It says, for through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access. Access. Access is what? A portal. It's the entry point. Through him, by one spirit, through the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. So when you pray into the Spirit, the Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, Darlene, that you're not talking to men. You're not even talking to yourself. The Bible says you're talking to God. When you pray in the Spirit, you're not speaking to men. You're speaking to God. So when anytime you're praying in tongues, you're praying into the Spirit. The Bible says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. Isaiah 28:12. He said, with a stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. So he says, when you pray in tongues, you're speaking to me and you're speaking to you. I'm talking to you while you're praying in tongues. You're talking to me, you're praying mysteries out. You have no idea what you're talking to me about and what I'm talking to you about. It just manifests in the Spirit. Satan don't know. Family, nobody can intervene there. So for through him, we both have access in one spirit to who? The Father. So the access is to who? The Father. Okay? The access is not to Jesus. You go through Jesus, come on now, to get to the Father. If you stay at the Jesus too long, you're at the door. And you're what we call religious. Every Sunday, you get saved. Every Sunday, you're looking for a Savior. You're a joint heir. You've been a joint heir for 20 years still looking for a Savior. Verse 19 is the meat of the matter right here. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Because you have access to the Father, he said, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of God's household. We're talking about the household today. You are members of what? God's household. That word household means family. Structured family. You have access to the Father. Therefore, you are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners. What does that mean? I belong here. You ever go home and don't feel like you belong there? So that's a, That's a whole nother question. Sometimes. But this is your Father speaking to you. This is what the Spirit is saying to you. The Spirit is telling you, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Okay, we talked about the scripture last week. I forget which one it was, but it said, if those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts. Okay, he wants you to be planted in the house, planted in his family. So when we talk about the household, we're talking about the family of God. Okay, we're talking about the family of God. Jesus turned over tables because they were in there doing all type of crazy stuff. He said, my Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. Y'all not supposed to be in here selling goofy stuff, trying to be merchants. Y'all supposed to be in here praying. Y'all supposed to be in here entering in the spirit. Y'all in here trying to make money. He went there turning tables over, which means he got some G in him. He got some thug life in him. He wasn't always nice and kind. He went and kicked over tables. I don't think so. So we are members of God's household. We are his children. We belong in his house. Okay, now what did I tell you? The portal is opening up your consciousness. You have to see that you belong there. That's why when you're praying, you have to sometimes hit a stride and say, I belong to you. And just do that for 30 minutes. I belong to you. I belong to you. Slow it down. I belong to you. I belong to you. I am yours. You reconcile me. You take them same scriptures I'm telling you, and you take them back into prayer. And what they do is they cultivate your mind. It cultivates your mind. The reason why Satan can speak to us so much is because our minds are not cultivated with scripture. So he can tell you anything. He came to Jesus with foolishness. Where did he come to him to attack his consciousness if you be a son of God? What is he trying to do? Remove him from the household if you be a son of God. What is he trying to interfere with? Two things, who you are and whose you are. He didn't say if you be a preacher, a pastor. He didn't say if you be a prophet. He said if you be a son of God, do this. So now he's trying to get him to use his godly powers to do what he want to do. Satan is something else. Okay, let's get into some foolery. John 14 and 1. You'll see why I said it. Verse 4, this is Jesus talking. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Okay. Believe also in me. Verse 2. Because this is most misinterpreted scripture in the history of the Bible. Okay. Y'all still thinking y'all finna get a mansion when you die. They done fooled you, making you think you finna get a mansion. Look, let me tell you a secret. God don't have to wait to give you a mansion when you die. If he gonna give out mansions, he gonna give them out on earth. Okay, Peter asked Jesus, he said, look, he said, we followed you. We left everything. He said, what do we get? Okay. All right. This is Jesus talking. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Okay, there are many dwelling places. He says, in my Father's house, in my family, in the household, he said, there are many dwelling places. Okay, there are many abodes. There are many places you can travel into the spirit. There are many dimensions. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, most of the time when people read this scripture, they see in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, the reason why is because in the King James Version, all right, in the King James Version, all right, a dwelling place where it was three things. It was something built with clay, something built with wood, and something built with brick, which is mason. So the reason why they said mansion, because it comes from the word mason, which means that now they're talking about a permanent dwelling place. If it was talking about clay, that's not permanent. If it's wood, it's not permanent. So the reason why they said it, they letting you know that this abode that is about to be built is going to be permanent. So he says, in my Father's house, this is Jesus talking. Who is he talking to? Us. He's talking to his disciples. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, he said, or rooms or dwelling places. He said, if it was not so, I would not have told you. Now, here's the thing. I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. Now, we push that, Dre, we push the going to where he is off until we die. We push it off all the way until we die. So we got saints that can't wait to die to get a mansion. Come, Jesus. That don't sound like a joint heir. That don't sound like an heir of God. Come, Lord. People can't wait. I tell people all the time, Jesus is not, look, we don't want Jesus to hurry up and come back. You know why? Because we have done nothing he said. We've done nothing he said. We do not want Jesus to come back. The world ain't in trouble. The church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. We don't want Jesus to come back. Stay where you at. Stay where you at, Lord. Okay, until I mature and develop into my inheritance. Until I take what you told me to take, until I'm dominating the thing you told me to dominate, stay where you at, Lord. The Bible said the spirit and the bride would say, come. The bride is not saying that. That's carnal folks. The spirit is not saying that. The spirit, like, they're not ready. They're still mature. We're still trying to give them their inheritance. They still don't even know it exists. 90% of the church still think Jesus is the Father. Verse 3, he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and you will be in Christ. He says, there, that where I am, there you may be also. That's why in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he made us alive, he raised us up, and he seated us with Christ in heavenly places. Christ was going so we could be seated in heavenly places, not so we could wait to die to get a mansion. Like Jesus need to go to heaven and build mansions for us. Some stuff is stupid. It's just stupid, okay? It just don't even make sense. So you mean to tell me he spoke the whole world in 6 days? But he got to go and prepare. So you did this in 6 days. You did the whole everything created. But now he got to go and build mansions for us. And you wonder why your faith is. Okay. Galatians 6 and 10. So Jesus is trying to do what? Get us into the house. He letting us know there's many dwelling places. There are many places in the spirit. There's portals. There's dimensions. It says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Come on, clap your hands for that. All people. Let's do good to all people, everybody. Let's do good to everybody. And especially those who are of the household of faith. So there's a divide. There's there's all people, and then there's a household of faith. There's his family. Who is part of the household of faith? His sons and daughters that believe correctly. Titus 3 and 15. It says, but in case I am delayed, he says, I write so that you would know how you should, watch this, act in the household of God. How you should act in the household of God. 1 Timothy 3, 15. No, yeah, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 3, 15. But in case I am delayed, he said, I write so that you would know how one should act in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of truth. Now, what I want you to get from this is we need to not know how to act, just act in, but as. Y'all with me? We not just in the house. That is a problem. We don't know how to act in the house. And so, you know, typically when kids don't know how to act in the house, they don't know how to act outside the house. Okay, so Paul is training us, learn how to act in the house of God. He said, because that is, he said, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of truth. So we need to learn how to act as the household of God, as the family of God, as those who represent him. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. It says, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. For a testimony of those things which will be spoken of afterwards. That's a whole nother conversation. Verse 6. It says, but Christ as a son over his own house, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. So the church is Christ's house. That's why the Bible calls us the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Our vessels hold Christ. Our vessels hold Christ. That's why he told us to have the mind of Christ. So he's letting you know the mind of Christ is what? He's faithful to the house. He's faithful to the family. Do good to all people, but make sure you treat make sure you treat these brothers and sisters. Make sure you treat your siblings. Come on, you got your parents, you know. Y'all fight with anybody else, but not one another. Or y'all can fight with one another, but don't let nobody else pick on y'all. Okay, so do good to all people, but make sure when it comes to the household of God that you are one with them, that there is respect, that there is honor. Make sure that you treat them how I said to treat them. Amen? All right, last scripture in this. We can get into it. John 8 and 35. Y'all read this. Okay. So a slave does not remain in the household forever. Remain. A slave does not remain in the household forever. He says, but a son does remain in the household forever. Okay? So this is why we get on y'all about church attendance and showing up and doing different things, because sometimes you are missing church a lot because you still a slave. Okay, now hold on, listen to me. Hold on. And it's because you don't see yourself as his child. And because you don't see yourself as, wait, let me say, as his son. Okay, now when I say son, I'm talking about daughters too, okay? There's only one son, that's Christ. Christ is in all of us, okay? To say sons and daughters and, or, you know, to do all that, that's, now we have to go into the natural, okay? I'm speaking to you because your gender, Okay, but when we're talking about sons, we're talking about everybody. Okay? And so reason why we don't know is because a lot of times even the stuff that's preached to us, it leaves us at a level of being slaves. It doesn't tell us truly who we are. And truth be told, nobody wants to come to church and keep hearing how I'm a slave. Amen. Nobody wants to keep coming to church, Dre, and keep telling you got these sins. You got these sins. You got these problems. You got these issues. You got these. You're going to go to hell. God going to take away the blessing. You coming to church. This is how crazy religious folks is. They show up just to hear that. They show up every Sunday just to hear you talk about what God not going to do for you because what's wrong with you. Not understanding that he adopted you. He the one chose this. Like I told you, you got to understand this is his plan. Say, this is his plan. He wanted me in his family. I ain't asked to be in his family. Amen. I was not in eternity with him and Jesus. Like, I want to be in your family. This is his plan. Predestination is his plan. All these things are what? His plan. He wants you in his family. Everything that he did through Jesus, that was his decision. A lot of people, I say stuff and they look at me crazy, but Jesus didn't die for your sins. Jesus died because the Father sent him. He didn't just die for your, Jesus didn't make a decision. Well, I'm finna go die for some people's sins. In the book of Hebrews, there's a whole conversation. He said, you don't want the bloods of bulls and goats. He said, so you prepared a body for me. He's talking outside of his body. He said, you don't want the blood of bulls and goats. So you prepared a body for me. You prepared that body just to get the blood to set them free. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. This is the reasoning behind it. Everything I said, watch this. What's the law of harvest? Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. What did God sow? His son. What is he trying to reap? Children. He gave what he wanted. Okay, I have to teach like this just to cleanse your mind, just to get your thought process aligned with what he said. Because there's so many lies out there that we don't even know how to live. I live for God. How do you live for God? I got a relationship with God. What's explain that? And we can't explain the relationship that we say we have. What does that mean? We don't have a relationship. Okay, me and my wife, we counsel a lot of marriages. You know what the number one problem in marriage is? Is people say they're married, but they don't want to be a husband. People say they say they're married, but they don't want to be a wife. They just want to be married. That's the number one problem that we have in marriages is that everybody's, I'm married. Yeah, this is my wife, and I don't even know what a husband is. We just say it. I ain't going that far. But it's not about the commitment. It's just about the ignorance. We don't know. And we can't fulfill a role that we don't understand. People say, I'm a child of God. Do you even know what that means? I got a relationship with God. What does that mean? How have you got a relationship with God and you get up and you do whatever you want to do when you want to do? What type of relationship is this? What type of relationship is it that you have with God, the Almighty, that you don't even respond to him? You don't answer to him. You don't do nothing because we don't understand what the relationship is. And the Holy of Holies is the place, watch this, the Holy of Holies is the place where the covenant is cemented. We ain't got there yet. That's close to the last one. But that's where the covenant is cemented. Like I told you, out of this ministry will come two movements, sonship and then the eternal covenant. Once the church gets a grasp on the eternal covenant, once they get a grasp on the fact that this is God's plan and it's not ours, once we get a grasp on what the Logos word is, and we're not just trying to know the Bible. We know the Logos word, what he spoke before time. This is what he said he wanted. So this is what's going to happen. So a son does not remain in the household forever. I mean, a slave does not remain in the household forever. But a son does remain. So as children of God, as sons, as we mature, the number one way we'll see it is that, watch this, you'll be on time in the house. You'll show up in the house, and you'll show up with a heart of servitude. This is as you mature. Okay, I'm not shaming you. I'm letting you know that this is from lack of maturity. You just didn't know. Amen? You just didn't know. You thought you were good. No, you are God's child, but the maturity of God's children is that we show up for his business. He entrusted this thing with us. Adam messed it up. Jesus came to restore it to us. Okay, now, this is the whole thing that happened. I'm not going to bring the story out, but go back and read it. This is the whole thing with the prodigal son. Amen? He was in the house. He was in the house, and he decided, I'm leaving the house, and I'm taking my gifts. Y'all ready for this? So the story of the prodigal son is that he was in his father's presence. And in his father's presence was the fullness of joy. Say habitation. So as long as he was in the father's presence, he had everything he needed. Now, outside of the father's presence was what? Poverty, lack, an unassured life. So he's now functioning outside of the gates. He decided to leave, but in his presence, it was the fullness. He had everything he needed. He said, I want my inheritance. I'm going to take it. I'm going to leave. Now that he has left the father's presence, watch this. It was from the pig pen that he had an epiphany. So from the pig pen, after he done lost everything, a portal opens up. A portal opens up. And he says, the servants in my father's house, they got plenty of bread. Do you see? The portal opened up of the household. He didn't left. He didn't mess up everything. And he just, hold on. My father's servants have more than enough. Well, he said, I'm going home. Why is Jesus telling this story? Because it's us. So he returned to his father's presence. The father was, watch this, awaiting his return. So much that he met him. You draw nigh. Come on. You draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. I'm not going to go get you. Oh, God. I'm not going to force you to do it. I need you to go through what you're going to go through so you can see the need to what? Be in my house. I'm going to let you go through what you go through so you can see a need for my house. So he decided to go home. His father met him on the way. When he gets in the house, he turns to the servants here and said, clothe them. He didn't say, go to your bedroom because you're on punishment. You should have never took your inheritance and left. You should have never did that. So you on punishment for 6 months. I'm taking away all your blessings. I ain't opening no doors for you. He didn't say none of that, okay? He told the servants, which are, by the way, angels. He said, clothe them. Clothe them. He said, clothe them. He said, put rings on his fingers. This how he was. He went from the pig pen to Dre, like, show me your rings, Dre. Where your rings at, Dre? Okay? He put the chain on him. You know what I'm saying? He threw the chain on him. He put the crown on his head. He put the sandals on his feet. He said, y'all put it on him. I'm showing you, you are royalty. Now he said, let's celebrate him. Let's throw a party. Get the fattest calf. Okay, get the best of the best. Come on. I want you back in the house. Now, he did all this, watch this, to prepare him for dominion. Come on. That's the end game. I need you dominating the world. I don't need you to be worrying about what you did. Because the Bible said he lost that money. Bible said he was at Magic City. Come on. He was shooting dice. He was gambling. Backdoor little Joe. He was. Come on. He didn't bring it up how he lost it. He didn't bring none of that up. He didn't bring none of it up, what you did wrong. Because the Father deals with us this way because he know we immature. He know when he made the covenant, Nicole, he knew we were weak, fallible, ignorant, stupid, dumb. Okay, he knew we made bad decisions all the time. Okay, he knew we get, come on, you got kids? If you ain't got kids, okay, I want you to know it's an age called teenage, and when they lose their mind, okay, they think they can think on your level. They think they know what you know. Okay, come on. You was there. You remember when you was there? You remember when you thought you knew more than your mama and you knew more than your father? You remember them days? Now you're looking at your child like, look, when you gonna get it? As long as it took you. Tell me how long it took you. How long did it take you to get it? You up waiting by the door because you know this trick. You done locked all the windows. You done put the alarm on the wire. You know the trick. You done did this already. You done already done it. It's no different than our household. He looking at you like you immature. This is why he didn't bring it up. Watch this. Because he didn't want you to feel guilty. He didn't want that plague in your mind. All right. So watch this. The dichotomy of sonship is this. Out of your father's presence, you are lost. You like a fish outside of water. Go get you a fish, pull it out the water, and try to walk it like a dog. Okay? You will see how you are when you don't pray. You just flapping. You just. This is how you are when you don't pray. He throwing a party. He said, let's celebrate. My son was dead. Now he is alive. He said he was lost. Now he's found. So this is a dichotomy. Outside of his presence, when you decide not to pray, you lost. And until you say, Abba, until you greca my santo cosete, what am I doing? I'm finding myself. That's why I say sometimes that's what a breakthrough is. Okay, you know you've been out of his presence too long. Okay, you know you feel guilty. Okay, but he's not the one. He ain't the one that's holding the pressure to you. It's Satan. Satan trying to give you this orphan spirit to not come back, and he's waiting. Just come back. You mess up all week, so keep coming back. I paid the price for that. I paid the price. That's what grace is, Darlene. Grace said you can mess up and you can still come home. You can mess up, you can still come home. What I don't want you to do is mess up and not come home. So I didn't put nothing in the Bible that told you when you make a mistake, don't talk to me. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. There's nothing in the Bible that tells you that your sins will never be forgiven. He said he threw them as far as the east is from the west. He threw it in the sea. I don't even know what a sea of forgetfulness is, okay? But he said he threw them in there. This is how much he wants you in his house. This is how much he wants you in prayer. So outside of our Father's presence, we are lost. In his presence, we have found us. We have found our home. We have found, watch this, a place we can mature. And while we mature, be celebrated. No, you got to see, now I'm changing how you read the scriptures. When you go and you read, in my father's house, there are many dwellings. See, it takes a whole nother meaning now. In my father's house. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, Charles, that where I am, you can be. You can have the same relationship. You are joint heir. Just how I heard him, you can hear him. Just how he spoke to me in earth, you can do it. He can use you to walk on water. You just got to be close. He can use you to cast out devils. He can use you to speak to the. He can use you to do anything he want to use you to do. But he needs you submitted. He needs you He needs you, watch, to be a son that remains in the house. Because when you remain in the house, he know what? It's about his will. When you leave the house, he know it's about your will. And then, now, through the story of the prodigal son, we know where our will get us. Outside of our father's presence, watch this, we are dead. Adam, kicked out the garden, dead. Today you eat from that tree, you're going to surely die. Some of the content you're eating is killing you. Some of the stuff you're listening to and you're watching is killing you. Why? Because it's pulling you out your father's presence. As long as you're in your father's presence, you are alive. So let me read this. Outside of our father's presence, we are dead, like Adam was. In our father's presence, we are made alive by Jesus. He said, I made you alive, I raised you up, and I seated you with Christ. That's important. With Christ. He didn't make it seem like Christ is seated in a place you can't be. You're with him. As he is, so are you in this world. How was he dead? He wasn't physically dead. He wasn't absent of his body. But spiritually, he was absent of a garden to grow up into glory. This is why he said, Adam, where are you? You're not in my presence no more. Adam, where are you? You're dead. You're no longer attached to my voice. We hid ourselves. Why? Because we know stuff about ourselves that you didn't expose us to. This is why you keep buying. Okay. Look, I'm about to say some stuff, okay? I'm not talking about y'all, okay? This is why you keep buying eyelashes. This is why you keep buying. I'm just, hold on, wait. No, this. I'm not being critical of nothing. I'm just telling you, we keep buying and adding stuff to us because we think that's going to make us better. We think it's going to make us look better. It's going to make us want it. Why you think we got to over, not a BBL? What? That's not going to make no man want you. That's going to make the wrong type of man want you. But we keep adding different things. So if I get another job, if I get another degree, come on. If I get another this, if I get a bigger car, if I get a better this, if I get a better that. How was he dead? He wasn't physically dead. He was absent. He wasn't absent from his body, but he was spiritually absent of a garden to grow up into his glory. How was he lost? He didn't need a GPS. He didn't need a GPS to get home. He knew how to get home. Nobody had to come get him. He knew how to get home. Well, how is he lost? Because we're outside of our Father's presence. Anytime you're outside the Father's presence, you are lost. Then we had his brother come in, religious as ever. He in the house. He in the house. And still don't have the heart of the Father. He's in the house. Come on, how long you been in church? Stop playing. You that brother, okay? You've been in the house forever. You ain't never threw me no party. And he went and wasted all the money. You can bring up all his failures. This is what we do. We get jealous. People come back in the house. No, why you using them? You ain't use me. I've been coming every day. No, we trying to get them back in good fellowship. Come on. We trying to bring them back into the grace. We trying to get them back into their calling. And you more worried about you because you religious. And that's the same thing as being dead. That's the same thing as being lost. So, this is the journey of prayer. Dang. This is the journey of prayer. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. All right, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We give thanks for what he has done. Okay, I'm about to give you the game. Okay, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We give him thanks for what he has done, for what he has provided. All right, then we enter his courtyards with praise. thank you for who you are. We bless his name. We cry, Abba, Father. Okay? Now, that leads us to entering his household. Now, how does that lead us to entering his household? Because once you know what he has done for you and you know who he is, it also tells you who you are. When you know who you are, you're in the house. You're in the house when you know who you are. Once you know who you are in the house. Once you know whose you are in the house. And we're talking about your prayer life. Because I told you last week, how you minister to him is how you minister to you. How you minister to him is how you minister to you. If you think he a God of judgment, you scared to say and ask for anything. If you think he's just daddy and he going to give me candy and popsicles, that's all you talk about. But however you minister to you, you minister to other people. That's why folks is outreaching, telling people you're going to go to hell if you don't. Because that's how they minister to him. That's how they see him. They see him as a judge. He a terrorist. So they minister to other people like that. But the moment you understand whose you are, the moment you understand who you are now in the house. Okay? You are now in the house. And you have to learn how to pray from that place of who you are. So you have to compile all the scriptures in the Bible that let you know who you are. Then you grow from who you are, Kena, to who we are. Amen? Because it's a household. You ain't the only one live there. Come on. It's a household. You not the only one saved. God is not just thinking about you. Don't come to me with this one-sided conversation. Well, the Spirit showed me that I'm a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, what about us? You got the glorious destiny. What about us? God showed me I'm going to be a millionaire. Look, I love when he, look. God showed you going to be a millionaire? Good. That means we all going to eat. Come on, everything he give you is for the household. Everything he give you for the, he don't give you nothing for you. Everything he give you is for the house. It's for the house. Okay? So, once we know who we are and who we belong to, you meditate on that. This is your point of meditation. Okay? Now, thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for strength. Thank you for honor. Thank you for power. Thank you for authority. Thank you for revelation. Father, thank you for calling me, for choosing me. Thank you for pulling me out of darkness and bringing me into your marvelous light. Thank you, Father. Then I go to you are Abba. You are my Father. You are my source. You are my strength. You are my sustainer. You are the one in whom I trust. You are King Eternal. You are my everything. You are my shield. You are my buckler. I'm knowing who he is, okay? I know who he is. Now, until you get some scriptures under your belt, just Abba. You are Abba. You are my Father. You are my source. You are Abba. Like I say, sometimes prayer is not that deep. Just stay right there for 20, 30 minutes. You are Abba. You are my Father. You are my Father. I belong to you. I belong. It seems boring, but when it connects with your spirit, okay, and you start to build your soul, you come out with confidence. Okay, when you compile scriptures, all right, because remember, everything that Jesus is trying to do, he's trying to give us his life. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all sure? You ain't ready for this. He's trying to give you his life. How did Jesus talk? Let's go to some household language of Jesus. Y'all know I had something ready for you. I set you up. John 6 and 35. I ain't going to read all of it. I am the bread of life. That's how you talk from the house. I am. I am. I know who I am. I don't need you to tell me who I am. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So what is he saying in that? That if you don't come to me, you're going to thirst. He said, I'm a gate. I'm a gateway. I'm a door. Oh, he didn't say that, didn't he? John 8 and 12. He says, I am the light of the world. He told the disciples, you are the light of the world. He told them, you are salt. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. So what does that mean? He said, if you don't follow me, you're going to be lost. You got to know who you are. Some of these, you are that to your family. You are the bread of life for your family. You are the light of your family. John 10 and 9. I am the door. This is how you talk from the household. This is how you talk when you live in his presence. You don't need everybody else to tell you, hey, you think I'm the door? Y'all think I'm the door, Brandon? You think I'm the gate? You think I'm the door? You're like a door, you know what I'm saying? What you think? Am I the light, Sandy? You don't talk like that from the household. John 10 and 11. Well, no, stay right there. I am the door. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. He said, if you come through me, you're going to be saved. And not only are you going to be saved, you're going to be able to go in and out and find pastures. It's more to me than being saved. All right. John 10 and 11. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 11, 25. This is a big one. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Where he get that information from, Serena? His father. He said, I only say what the father. I only say what the father, what the fathers tell him. You are the bread of life, son. I'm going to teach you. You're going to hear God's voice messing around with me. You are light. You are salt. You are powerful. He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he turned around and told them, I gave you authority over all the power of darkness. Why he tell them that? So they can say it. So they can meditate on it. So it can be part of their conversation. So they never feel defeated. So they'll feel bold. So they'll be able to dominate. So they'll be subduers. So they'll be fruitful and multiply. So they'll know what to do with the blessing. Because we think the blessing is just a spin. No, I'm sorry. We think the blessing is so we can live a luxurious life. He said, God blessed them and said. So blessings come with a voice. Okay. God blessed them, Sonny, and said. This is what you do with the blessing. Y'all ready? Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Rule over everything. You think the blessing is for them all. You think the blessing is to increase your identity, your exposure. All right. Y'all said stop talking like that. John 14 and 6. He said, I am the way. Oh, God. That's bold. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father. Can you imagine him talking to them folks like that? Nobody comes to the Father. I know you're a Pharisee. I know you've been on the Sanhedrin Council for a long time. I know you've been through the tabernacle. Come on, I know you probably know the Ark of the Covenant. You know the showbread. You done went through all that. But I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. There ain't another way. Who told him to say that? Come on. What is he telling you to say? That's where we at. What is he telling you to say? Who is he telling you are? John 15, I am the true vine. My father is a vine dresser. Let's separate them because we think Jesus is. Okay. I am the true vine. He said there's other vines. I'm the true vine. I'm the authentic one. There's a lot of other ones. Who told him to say that? He said, ain't nothing I ever said out of my mouth that the Father didn't tell me to say. I'm the true. I'm not a vine. I'm not a vine. I'm the true vine. This household conversation, when you have spent time in his presence, you come out with this conversation. This is how the epistles was written. He says, I am the vine. He says, and you are the branches. Then John 5:58, he says, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then in the garden, said the soldiers came to arrest him and they asked for Jesus of Nazareth. And he replied, he says, y'all hear this all the time, but y'all ain't know where it came from. He said, I am he. I am he. And the Bible said they fell back. They fell down when he said that. I am he. He said, we looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. And all of them just fell. This is how the epistles was written. Paul said, I, Paul, am an apostle of Jesus Christ. See, you be waiting for people to, not waiting for you to tell me who I am. What did he call you to do? Who are you? I am a son. He said, are you the son of God? He said, you said it. You said it. Paul said, I am an apostle of Christ, a bond servant. He said, it was given to me to preach the mysteries to you. What is he telling you in a nutshell? This is who the Father told me was, and the information I'm giving you, it ain't privy to you. I got to give it to you. Because you know, folks, you think you know more than everybody. I do. Why? Because I'm called, and he didn't call you to do it. And because he didn't call you to do it, he's not talking to you about it. Folks want to agree, oh, no, we all on the same level. We not. Some of us are flowing from the household. Some of us are in the pig pen. Some of us are complaining. Some of us don't even know him as Abba. We just know God. We're not all the same. Some of us are on assignment. Some of us are looking for an assignment. Some of us know who we are. Some of us are looking for who we are. We're not all the same. Peter, same thing. I, Peter, an apostle. They knew who they were. What they, what, you can't write an epistle outside the household. He can't use you to do his will outside of the household. They're speaking directly from the household. Well, let's go. Peter is the one who told, Paul and Peter, the one told us who we are. So not only did he go into the spirit and find out who he was, he found out, he told us who we are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:5. He says, y'all ready for this? Okay, I'll let y'all write the scripture down. Then I'm going to go off. He says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. He's telling you. You are a living stone, and you're being built up as a spiritual house. He's telling you. He says, you are what? A holy priesthood. He's telling you who we are. This is why prayer is important. But you know why we miss prayer? Because we don't know. We are priests. So we don't think prayer is important. Y'all better get on that prayer call. I'm calling you. I'm going to start sending y'all text messages. I'm going to start sending y'all text messages. Where you at? Talking to God like he talked to Adam. Where are you? Where are you? Why are you not on the prayer call? Why? You know why? Because you don't see yourself as the priesthood. It's not important to you. You have not matured there yet. You got other stuff to do because you don't hear his voice. His kingdom is not important to you. It's what you have to do. And you'll spend all day doing what you have to do. I don't know if I got time for the prayer call. I get them. No, that's first and foremost. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth. Who said that? Who said it? Jesus said it, but the Father told him, you're right, you ain't wrong. I don't want you to think you're wrong. But this is a conversation from heaven. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth, not your kingdom, not your will. God is not trying to advance your initiative. God, could you come pray for me, please? He is not interested in what. Make sure whatever you're doing is connected to him. He's not interested in your career. He's not going to take you. No, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Everything he needs you to do, you have to have the mind of Christ. Everything he needs you to do, you have to do it from the household. You can't do it as an orphan. You can't do it without a father. You can't do it homeless. Okay, Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. That's 14 and 2. By the time he got to 14 and 18, he said, I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. Coming, why he said, I will not leave you orphans. What is an orphan? Somebody who's fatherless, who's comfortless. So that's why he gave you the Holy Spirit, to comfort you, because you're his child. That's why he said the Spirit is going to reveal to you. It's going to tell you, Charles, this is why I created you. This is what I created you to do. It's going to tell you, you have the same power Christ has. You are my son. We praying, Jesus, come fix it. No, Jesus not going to fix nothing. Jesus not going to fix nothing. He already did his part. He's not fixing nothing. No matter how you help us, Jesus. No, help you. I gave it a helper. I gave you another helper. He said, I'm giving you another helper. So I gave you a helper. Then I gave you another helper. Then everything that is mine is yours. What can I do that you can't? Oh, you can't hear the Father's voice. And you're not mature enough to follow the instructions. But we're going to fix that. How? We're going to enter his gates, come on, with thanksgiving. Come on, we're going to enter his courts with praise, okay? And then from his courts, we're going into the house. And when we get in the house, we're going to call out, this is who I am. Okay, and then it's going to take us into who we are. That's why Jesus said, he said, when you pray in this manner, our Father, not my Father, our Father who is in heaven. He ain't on earth. So you got to enter into a portal. Okay, you got access to him by one Spirit. Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. This is household prayer. Your kingdom come. Our Father who is in heaven, make your name holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, you can say, give us. But he didn't say, give me. Okay. This is mature prayer. It ain't give me. It's not a list of stuff that I want to accomplish in life, and Father, give me. And I know my prayers, man. I heard an ignorant rapper say this on, well, God, I didn't know God for myself. But what he did with my, he ain't nowhere near your career. You done shot your whole album. You done killed somebody, shot somebody. You done had sex with, and you married. But they get up there and say, well, I just want to thank God for, God is nowhere near your career. God is nowhere near your career. You done talking about how you murdered, you was in the trap. God wasn't in there. God call us out the trap. But God elevated your career. This is the deception of the world. And it's the church fault because we in oblivion with God because the gospel not being preached right. They don't even want to come. Oh, okay. I'm trying to see where I was. So he says, you also as living stone, say I'm a living stone. Add that to your prayer. Say I'm a part of the spiritual house. Say I'm part of the holy priesthood. I'm supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. It's right there, ain't it? The instructions right there. You know how y'all eat stuff and instructions on the... No, let me shut up. Everything in it wrong right there on the back. You still eat it? Okay, we go. We're not going to go there. Verse 9. Because I got 10 minutes. Okay. But you are... Come on. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. It's who you are. He's giving, throwing identity at you. He's just throwing identity at you. This is who we are. This is the family. This is the household. This is who the household is. This is who we are together. You can't be this by yourself. You're not chosen by yourself. There's a chosen generation of us. You're not royalty. And he didn't say royal priest. You're not the one. I know you pray at home, but it ain't official till we pray together. Now, thank you for clapping. I appreciate that because everybody else don't like me. He said, you are a holy nation. So it's not just you being holy. It's a bunch of us. So that's the assignment. Is we need a bunch of us to be holy. This is, watch this. This is how you destroy principalities. You can't destroy principalities by praying. You need a holy nation. You need people who not only pray, but they carry out the assignment right here on earth. You need a chosen generation to kill principalities, to kill authority, spiritual wickedness. You need to be, that's a family assignment. That's why the worst thing they could have did was come out with the God's generals. Now everybody want to be a general. The thing about God's generals, they did great work, but it never led to a family lifestyle. Wonderful work. They healed people. They cast out devils. They had great movements, but it never came to the place where we are. And so now we start to celebrate who they are. God bless them. We thank God for them. We thank for the initiative of it. But in the end, we need to be at we are. It says that you may proclaim, look at this, proclaim what? The praises. We just talked about that's how you get in the household. We proclaim the praises of him who did what? Who called us. That's another one. Father, you called me. You called us. You called us out of darkness. You ain't called me. You called us out of darkness. Into your marvelous light. You called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. These are the things you pray. This is just how you pray it. Verse 10. Who once were not a people, come on, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he didn't sit here and told us you're a priesthood, you're holy and you're royal, you're a special people, you're a chosen generation, you're a holy nation, you're a living stones, you're a spiritual house that you offer up sacrifices. This is household stuff. This is household behavior. Now I'm going to do this last part and we're going to get out of here for the sake of time because if not, we'd be here at 5:30, 6 o'clock. Okay, because the last thing you need to do is hurry up and get out of church. Amen. Would you know what you need to do? Hurry up and turn the TV off. You know what you need to do? Hurry up and turn the internet off. You know what you need to do? You need to hurry up and get off Facebook, off Instagram. You need to hurry up and get off of TikTok. That's what you need to hurry up and do. Okay, you need to hurry up and leave Netflix alone. Okay, you need to hurry up and pray. The last thing you need to do is hurry up and get out of church. We can't wait to get out of church to do what? I'm going to get everybody the mic. Pass the mic around. I want to know what everybody going to do when you get out. I want to know what you're going to do. You already got them greens on. Come on. You already cooked that food. You thinking about filling your belly up. And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But the last thing we need to do is hurry up and get out the house of God, okay? And we take on that mindset sometimes. So, the summary of this, okay, the household, which is the Father's house, is a structural reality of sonship and a covenant family. Not just about you, it's about the covenant family, okay? It is a place of inheritance and inheritance, relational governance, and manifestation of the Father's DNA Watch this. Through corporate unity. Through corporate unity, okay? He's not dealing with you by yourself. Everything he gonna do, he gonna do through the family. If anybody don't want to come to church today, me. Okay? Because I got the same assignment every week. I got to come. I got to show up. You got an option. I can't wait till you get to that place. I can't wait till you mature to that place where it's not an option. I tell my leaders, think like a boss. Okay? You need to show up like you got to preach. I want you to show up next Sunday like you got to preach. I want you to pray all week like you got to preach. This is when we're going to go to another level. Okay, right now, you go all week and hope you get a good word. Come on. We need to break that. You need to prepare as if you might, you know, we're going to get to the place where we don't know who's going to teach. Come on, Lisa, your turn. Come on, Gertha, your turn. You preaching today. Come on, Serena. Come on, Sandy. Come on, KP, Charles, you preaching today. That's what Bishop Oyedepo do. This is what he do to his staff. They have meetings, and he just tell them, okay, come give a word. You don't even know what you're going to talk about. You have no idea. He didn't give you no preparation. When I prepare my pastors and people who preach up here, I give them at least 3 months. At least 2 to 3 months to prepare because I want them to be tight. But one day, no. Kirby, you preaching today. Yeah, I know you thought I was preaching. We just going to call. I'm going to pick the topic. I'm gonna, okay, this is what the series is about. We coming here. All right, go ahead, Serena. Go ahead, Janae. Come teach. Come on, Dre, your turn. You teaching today, bro. Grab the mic. Go. Let's go. Because the word should be in you like that. You should have to prep and prime yourself. This should be in you. This should be like your breath. Okay? This should be like your breath. Now, this is what you do when you get into the household. Y'all ready? Function as a child. Okay, function as a child in this place, in the household. When you say we enter your household, it's just a prompting. But the prompting is to let us know that we finna switch to sonship. We finna go to I am. We finna go to every scripture. I am the righteousness of you. I am chose. I am called. I've been redeemed. You brought me back. You wanted me in your family. You chose me before the foundation of the world. You chose me when? Before the foundation of the world. Well, hold on. I was in your plans the whole time. You start entering the conversations with them. But in this space, you function as a child. Not only as a child, you function in your specific spiritual office. Okay? If you're a prophet, you better come as a prophet. If you're an evangelist, you better come as an evangelist. You say you're an intercessor? You say you're a watchman? You said God called me to do this thing? In the household, this is where you function as that thing. You flow as that thing. This, the thing about this is training grounds. You have permission to make as many mistakes as you want to. What you don't have permission to do is be lazy, be slothful, and intentionally tear up the family. Okay? You don't have permission to do that. But you have permission to grow in this space. This is the space that you grow. If he called you to do that, this is where you grow. Let us see your goofy to growth. Amen. Let us see you stumbling and crawling till you grow. This is where you do that at. This is where you do that at. This is where we watch you fail and then we watch you grow. We watch you make mistakes and then we watch you recover. You do that here. It's acceptable. Y'all with me? It's acceptable. Make mistakes, okay? Do what you need to do, but grow. So, we function as children, we function in our specific spiritual offices, and we function as dynamic children, okay? But we do it with humility and honor, all right? In this space, we practice the culture of alignment, okay? We practice the culture of alignment. We're trying to build a prayer culture, amen? Get on the prayer call. Get on the prayer call. Pray. Okay, don't nobody care. Anybody don't. They're going to be listening to me. So they listen to everybody. I might stutter. I might stammer. I might not sound. Who cares? It's better than you not praying. If you got to say the same prayer over and over again, thank you, God, 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 thank, until you get something else, just do it. We're not judging you. We want you to grow. Whatever you got to bring to the table, bring it, but bring it with the plan on growing. Amen. So this is where we practice culture alignment. This is where we practice tidiness of the spirit. This is where we clean up our act. Amen. And this is where mutual love leads us to the secret place. Okay, this is where we have mutual love. This is where you're gonna learn how to love right here, Kena. You're gonna learn how to love. We're gonna get on your nerves. I'm gonna get on your nerves. I promise you, I promise you, Nicole, I'm gonna say something you don't like. I promise you, I'm gonna do something you don't disagree. I promise you, I'm gonna do something you disagree with. I promise you I am. I promise you, I'm gonna say something that's off and I'm gonna correct it 2 years from now. I was wrong when I said it, okay? But this is the place of growth. Okay? I promise you, I'm gonna do something that you're not gonna like. You do not have permission to abort and abandon me. Yeah, I said it. You don't have permission to just leave because you're mad. This is where you grow up. This is where you get stay in power. This is where you learn to fight with that mind that's trying to pull you away from your destiny. This is where you learn. This is where you get over your jealousy. But they keep calling their name, but they ain't saying nothing about mine. It's on purpose. The spirit don't want us to say your name because we want you to get over the jealousy. This is where you see everybody speak and teach before you, and you get to sit back there and be like, but I've been here for such and such time. We know you've been here. God know, the Father know you've been here. He just want to get that out of you. He want to get that out of you. I can do better than them. I can pray better than them. He want to get that out of you. So he'll let you sit there, and then he'll give you the mic, and he'll move all his presence out the way. Let's see what you can do without me. We're going to grow up. We're going to grow up in here. Okay? Mutual love, because this leads us to the secret place. Last one. This is how you travel deeper. You have to move from being a guest and a servant. You have to remove from being a guest and a servant in his presence, in his house. And you have to take full authority as a legal heir. Come on, say, I'm an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means something in the house. That means, you know what? You got responsibility. You got more than just a blessing coming. You got responsibility, okay? So what happens is you actively manage the assignment of the house and steward the presence of God, watch this, for yourself and for others. So if the presence of God ain't in the house, look and say, is it my fault? I don't feel the presence. Well, tell us how much you prayed this week. The power ain't in the house. Well, what you working with? We need this ministry. Well, he gave it to you. He told you we need that ministry. He didn't tell me. He told me what to do, and I'm doing it. He told you we need a ministry on praying for the homeless. Okay, there you go. The Lord is speaking to you. Now you go back to him and you cultivate the thing. We need to do evangelism. You sure right we do. I agree with you. You want to wait for me to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you going to grow up. You going to do it. You heard them, right? Why y'all ain't never outreaching? Because you didn't initiate it. Why y'all ain't never praying? Why we praying for 33 days? Because he initiated it. He told him. You know, he didn't tell me 33. That's his number. He get 33 days. He get always getting 33. He didn't tell me. Tell the church to pray for 33 days. No, because you know what behind that is diligence. Why we ain't eating no meat for 90 days? Pastor KB, he didn't tell me to tell y'all not to eat meat for 90 days. He didn't tell me that, Kena, so I'm not doing it, okay? But I'll comply because he said to do it. Why? Because I'm part of the household. So if whatever you see and you think that it need to be done, do it. Do it. Don't wait on me to do it. This is our house. Come on. This is our house. This is our family. This is another one. Her dress too short. Will you buy? Take her shopping. His shirts be too little. Take him shopping. Help him out. Why you gonna talk? Come on. This is a family. They don't know how to pray. Teach them. That's what we taught you. Everything we got is right here.